Merry Christmas, everybody. If we haven't met, my name's Jordan. I get the joy of serving as one of the pastors here at Veritas, and it means so much to me and our team and our family that you would choose to celebrate this holiday with us. My job, as many of you should know, is to open up the Word of God and to talk about why we're really here, which we will get to. Take heart, we'll get there. But before we jump in, one thing I've noticed as I've gotten a little bit older and have, you know, a whole soon-to-be handful of little kids, is that the Christmas season or the holiday is not always as serene as the movies make it out to be. Or maybe, you know, the filtered Instagram or social media picture that you see. In fact, one that many of us may post tomorrow, right? We'll take our family picture tonight, and it'll be like, Merry Christmas from the Howell family. But what you didn't see is, like, us fighting to get our soon-to-be three-year-old in jeans and the arguing in the car and the stains on the clothes. It's like, we just leave that out of it. And if you're anything like me, maybe you're left asking, shouldn't this be easier? Right? Like, I've seen everybody else's version of Christmas, and it seems like this should be easy. But it's not. And we've all likely received several Christmas cards by this point with beautiful pictures and greetings that read something like this: Merry Christmas from our family to yours. May your holiday season be filled with love, joy, and peace. And you read that, and you're like, filled. Love, joy, and peace. Maybe not filled. I trust that we've all caught glimpses of these sentiments around the holiday season. But it's not hard for us to think something's wrong, right? Like, something's missing. And maybe it would be helpful for us to just take a step back and realize that we're not weird if we feel that way. We're not alone if we feel that way. If you think, man, something's missing, something's off, something doesn't seem perfect. As a church family, we've been looking at the prophet Isaiah's words in Isaiah 9 the last 3 weeks. We're kind of landing the plane tonight, where some 700 years before the birth of Jesus, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah and gave us this promise in Isaiah 9:6. For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named, these are royal throne titles for Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and what we're talking about tonight, Prince of Peace. That Jesus would be called the Prince of Peace. And again, 700 years later, that Christ would be born in a manger in Bethlehem. Angels would show up to shepherds and they would announce this to the shepherds, Luke 2. An angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." And if we just stop for a moment and ask that question, what does peace mean this holiday season? Like, if Jesus is the Prince of Peace, if we're promised peace on earth, do we have it? And maybe you can't put a definition to it, but if it helps you, let me ask you this question. What does peace look like? If you're anything like me, you might envision something less like December in Iowa and more like December on a beach, right? Like, you think of, hey, feet kicked up, no responsibility, enjoying warm weather. Sometimes we reduce peace to a place. And around the holiday season, sometimes that place is just home, right? Home for the holidays. We're home, we're in our sweatpants, we're in our happy place. Sometimes in the holiday season, we reduce peace down to presents, right? We finally got the one present we've been waiting for that's gonna fix all of our problems. Maybe not. or we've finally given that present, we've been waiting to see that other person's face light up and just to see them like exude joy. Maybe you've reduced peace down to your plans or lack thereof, right? It's like, hey, so long as things go according to plan, right? As long as Uncle Ricky doesn't bring up politics, we're gonna have a peaceful holiday, right? As long as no one invites us over, we'll have a peaceful holiday. We can just be by ourselves, right? And maybe that's it. Maybe you've reduced peace down to people, right? Oh, the whole family's back together. Or, hey, we missed that side of the family this year. I don't know your story. But these are all ways, specifically around the Christmas season, that we grasp for peace. It's something that we're pursuing. So long as there's no chaos or conflict, we can feel a sense of peace. But the problem is, this is a type of peace that's fragile and fleeting. One day you'll wake up and you'll snap out of it. Back to the real world, right? Back to work. The presence will wear out. Excitement will fade. Something will inevitably not go as planned. And maybe closer to home for some of us, there may be a holiday where someone you love is no longer in the room, right? Whether that's wounds, unresolved conflict, death, deployment, all things that make us just stop and be like, man, if only. But what I want us to know today and every day is that peace is not about our pursuit. And it's not related to our circumstances. Peace is actually about a promise that's been given to us. And so much more than circumstances, but a savior. Right? Both audiences, as you consider this promise of peace in Isaiah 9 and Luke 2, were well aware that peace was not related to their circumstances. Right? In Isaiah 9, you have Judah. Luke 2, you have Israel under Roman oppression. Judah was under the threat of Assyrian invasion. Both audiences weak, politically powerless, under broken leadership, and if we can be honest, they were uncertain about the future. And then we think about maybe this hallmark scene that we've made of Jesus's birth, right? Where it's like, you know, silent night, all is calm. We're gonna sing it, don't worry, we'll get there. But it's like, take a step back, think about it, right? Unwed teenage girl with her fiance traveling under forced political census, show up to this small town, look for a place to stay where she can give birth, and what do they find, right? Born in a barn, right? Placed in a feeding trough. And it's not hard to say, man, I'm pretty sure that night wasn't silent or calm, right? And for all the parents in the room, it's like, heavenly, who's sleeping in heavenly peace there? I don't know. So when you look at Jesus, what's this promise of peace all about, right? What does it mean that Jesus would be the Prince of Peace, or that there can be peace on earth? What we know is that peace is not the absence of trouble. As we look at these stories, it's actually about something so much more. It's about wholeness, a sense of wholeness at the center of our core, not something we pursue, but a pursuit that comes to us. And I want you guys to see this actually in one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time, How a Family Watches It Year Round. I'm not even joking. In July, we watch it. Dr. Seuss's The Grinch, okay? If you haven't seen it yet, spoiler alerts are coming, all right? Came out in 2018. It's the top grossing Christmas movie of all time. And what you should know about The Grinch, no matter what version you've seen, is that The Grinch hates Christmas, right? Something's wrong. And Dr. Seuss's The Grinch, 2018, he kind of gives us maybe additional detail as to what happens. But what we know is that The Grinch hates Christmas. And he says, you know what? I'm going to try to get away from it. So his pursuit of peace, step one, was avoid, right? Avoid Christmas. Stay up on Mount Crumpet. Early in the movie, he tries breaking his alarm clock so he doesn't have to see the day anymore. He doesn't have to listen to the alarm go off and play Christmas music. He turns to stress eating, starts like devouring cake and like massive amounts of spaghetti. And then he wakes up one day, and his dog, Max, had prepared him a meal. and he pulls the lid off and he says, "What is this depressing bean?" Right? "How much food have I eaten?" And Max lets him know that he is out of food. So guess what? Avoidance is not going to work anymore. Grinch now has to turn to an alternative solution because he has to go down into Whoville and come face to face with the Christmas spirit. So if avoidance won't work, what will? How about this? Resentment. The Grinch walks among the Whos. He mocks their traditions. He reduces their holiday down to the fact that it's all about spoiled Who children. And as he climbs back up Mount Crumpet, he finally realizes that resentment isn't doing the trick, so he leads to his final strategy, which is this. What if I just controlled it? What if I just eliminated Christmas, right? We know that the Grinch came to steal Christmas. So that's his plan. If I take the decorations, if I steal the presents, if I silence the noise, all will be well. But we know that this plan failed because at the end of the movie, the Grinch takes this sleigh full of presents all the way up to the edge. And he says, you know, it's one push away, just to push all the presents away, but he hears something. He says, "What is that? Do you hear it? They're singing. I don't understand, Max. Don't they know what I've done?" The movie goes on to say this, "And the luscious sound swelled, reaching up to the skies. And the Grinch heard with his heart, and it tripled in size." And what we learn from the Grinch is that Christmas wasn't the problem. His past wasn't the problem. The Whos weren't his problem. What was his problem? It was his heart. He needed not Christmas to go away. He needed his heart to be made whole. And I hope that's what we can walk away with today, that we can know that peace is not about our pursuit of symptom management. How do we just get to the next vacation, the next job promotion, the next break in our schedule, you name it. It's not about symptom management. Peace is rather about God's pursuit of healing what's most broken in our lives, which no, is not your family. It's not your financial situation. It's not your career path, your health, or your busy schedule. Your greatest issue is that your sin has separated you from a holy God. And Jesus didn't come just to give us a sense of holiday calm, but he came to give us peace with God himself. And how did he do this, right? Man-made religion would tell you that the way we get right with God is to clean up our mess and come to him, right? Just be moral, do the right thing, get better, and then someday you get God. But that's not the Christmas story. That's not good theology. That's not the gospel. How did Jesus make peace with us? He entered into our mess. He came to a broken world to be a ruler, a prince of peace, a king who establishes peace not by overthrowing Rome, but by changing human hearts. And known as one of the greatest sentences ever written, Augustine has famously said this, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." And as Jesus prepared for his crucifixion, he gathered his disciples together. They ate what we know as the Last Supper, and you can read the Upper Room Discourse in the Gospel of John, that Jesus would speak to his disciples before his crucifixion about this word peace several times. I just want us to see two verses that we can glean what Jesus means when he speaks of peace. So the first is John 14:27. Jesus said to his disciples, he says to us today, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." But get this, "I don't give to you as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled or afraid." What does Jesus mean? He promises us peace, but he says, hey, it's not like the world can give you. Which the good news is, he's saying, the peace that I give you is not circumstantial. It's not fragile. It's not temporary. It's peace that lasts. It's peace that goes beyond what's happening around you. It's peace that happens inside of you. And we get clarity on this as we get further in the Gospel of John. John 16:33, he says this to his disciples, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. But get this, you will have suffering in this world." Right? It's like peace in the midst of suffering. And Jesus said, "I've told you these things so that in me you might have peace." You might think that he said, "Hey, everything is going to get a lot better." Is that what he said to his disciples, though? No, he said, "I am about to depart, and you are going to be persecuted. You're going to suffer for following me. But here's what you do have, the promised Holy Spirit. You have access to your Father in heaven forever. And you can know that though I am going to depart from you, be crucified, I'm sovereign. I'm in control. I know what's going to happen. So here's what you can do. Have peace in me. And be courageous, because look at this promise. I have overcome the world." That peace is found not in a place. It's not in presence or plans or people around us, but namely a person. That peace is found in Christ. And that he has accomplished and offered freely to us this peace tonight. Will suffering come? Will hardship hit you? Absolutely. Will conflict continue to rage around you? Yes, it will. But he's offered you peace inside of you. How? Near the end of Isaiah, Isaiah 53 gives us another promise of what Jesus would be like. Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 3, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised and we didn't value him, yet he himself bore our sicknesses and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds." Maybe you've come across that Crossway article that came out this week that said, "Christmas is about Good Friday." Which means the good news of the Christmas holiday is not just that Jesus was born, it is that he lived perfectly, the life we never could, and that he died. That he died the death we deserve. Punishment for our peace was on him. Whose punishment? Our punishment. On his head. Though he was sinless, he would take the wrath of God. Why? So that we could have peace. A restored heart, a restored relationship with our Maker. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So I hope that we know, no matter what conflict or chaos we face around us, our greatest problem has already been solved. The greatest issue you face on any given day has already been solved. Because as it's been said before by people much smarter than me, more eloquent than me, right? There's an empty tomb and an occupied throne. Jesus is in charge. He's already conquered the world. So as we face suffering around us, as you get that glimmer of like, man, I thought this was supposed to be peaceful, doesn't feel like it, here's what you can know. We serve a God who's experienced suffering to the greatest degree. Hebrews tells us he's God, a high priest who can sympathize with us. That there's peace in knowing you're not alone, right? That you have a Savior who can sympathize, but also we serve a God who took the worst event in human history and made it an eternal victory for all who would trust in him. So when your plans don't go your way and you start to think, is this beyond God's control? You can answer with a resounding, no, it's not out of his control. And he can take the worst event and make it a victory. We see that in Christ. So this Christmas season, My pastoral prayer for you is so much more than that you would just have a good holiday with your family, right? I look at that quote from the Grinch and I think, would you be able to hear with your heart the real meaning of Christmas? Right? The Grinch heard with his heart and it tripled in size. Would you hear that tonight? And would you stop settling for the peace of this world? Stop settling for a peace that you have to chase down and that it's going to run away from you again. But rather, satisfy yourself in the Prince of Peace. Satisfy yourself in the fact that peace isn't something you pursue, but someone who pursued you. The God who stepped down from glory, put on human flesh, was born in poverty, lived perfectly, died gruesomely, and rose victoriously. Would you find your peace in him? Because what we know is that his peace is not like this world's. It's not fragile or temporary. It's not going to fade away. It lasts forever. Amen? Let's pray to that end together this evening.